The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Sports,
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 sports.
So they just sit there and talk about sports?
Yeah, and apparently there's some sports to talk about today. From DeAndre Hopkins to Gronk. Let's do it. It's a Tuesday on the Blitz.
Shall we begin?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Tuesday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, Chocolate Braveheart. Nick Sciarra joins us today. If you want to get in, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. Or you can hit us up on Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at the producer Nick. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And guess what? Little sports to talk about today, Mr. Hoffman.
Sports? Sports match games?
Well, not games. Let's clarify
okay.
that. But
okay.
Some off the field stuff, certainly.
Yeah. Making moves.
Yeah. So Gronk to Tampa Bay. That just broke about 20 minutes ago that he's going to be reunited with Tom Brady.
Yeah, this is an unsurprising move, and it's a move that Gronk kind of leveraged against the Patriots. Because, I mean, when you look at would the Patriots love to have Gronk back this year? Certainly. They would have loved to have him come back and play. But it doesn't seem like Gronk was willing to come back and play with what they've got there without Tom. And so Gronk is saying, you know what, maybe it would be fun to play in this offense with Tom and these explosive wide receivers. And so if the Patriots wanted to get anything in return, like anything out of Gronk, then trading him was the move. They don't get much, but they got something, which is better than nothing. And you know, Gronk will go and play for his salary that he was making in New England. He was scheduled to make, which I think is about $10 million for the last year of this deal. So I think it's a good deal for the Bucks, certainly, and really, it's hard to argue that it's not a good deal for the Patriots, because they're getting something for an asset that wasn't going to play football for them this year. I think Gronk would have rather stayed retired than to gone and play in New England this year. So it's sort of the rare win-win in the NFL.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, from a Patriots perspective, you're getting a fourth-round pick for a guy who was never going to play for you again. And, you know, the Bucks get a guy that Brady's familiar with, and obviously he's been hurt a lot, which is one of the reasons why he retired in the first place. But if he stays healthy, that's a nice weapon to have. And, you know, I don't know how much he has left in the tank, but he was, when he was on the field, he was still pretty damn good before he left. So, but who knows how long it's going to be before he actually gets on the field. It may be a year and a half that he'd been out of the game by the time they play, but I like it. I think it'll be real interesting to see what kind of offense that the Bucks run with that Arians runs with those two guys in there, and how much they incorporate from, you know, what they did in New England, because I think it's a good deal. I'm excited to see him back on the field, because he's a fun guy to watch. And I'm about those Buccaneers making moves after years of being just yeah.
Yeah, I'm still not sure if I'm sold on the Bucks. I mean, they do have some nice weapons now, but it's not like tight end has been a weakness for them. They've had good tight ends. They've had good wide receivers. All this boils down to is Tom Brady, does he still have gas in the tank? And, you know, I beat this drum last year, and I'm not going to back off of it. And maybe I'll have egg on my face, but when I saw Tom throw the ball last year, I saw a guy who's not that's not the Tom Brady that is the greatest quarterback of all time. That's a shell of that Tom Brady. So, if that shell shows up, I don't think all these moves are gonna do any good. But if Tom Brady is rejuvenated and there is new life in him, then yeah, the Bucs are set up for some real success.
Well, it's it transitions nicely into a couple of guys that didn't want to play for Bill Belichick to a guy who clearly did not want to play for Bill O'Brien anymore in DeAndre Hopkins. And, boy, after reading that story, how can you blame him?
Yeah, this is a it's not a good look for the Texans, certainly. And for, again, and we, you know, will Bill ever come out and address what's in this story? I highly doubt it. Although he is, he's going to be available to us after the draft. I guess he's doing another one of his patio chats. Will he answer any questions about this? My guess is no, because he feels like he's addressed it, and DeAndre's no longer part of the team, so he's not going to address it. But for a coach, for a player like DeAndre Hopkins to say he has no relationship with his head coach after, what, 3-4 years? Has it been 4 years?
Yeah, yeah.
That's concerning.
Five, isn't it? Yeah, that's well, and if you haven't seen the story, it basically, he confirmed the Michael Irvin story without getting into details, which I think is important. But said there was no relationship. Make sure you put that in there. There's not a lot to speak about. He told the magazine that he knew how to get out of the situation. Said by asking for a little raise, he knew the team would shop him, which is the outcome I wanted. Which I don't think it's any surprise that players don't want to play for Bill O'Brien.
Right.
And he did confirm that the meeting that Irvin talked about took place, but didn't want to get into details of what was said. So basically, to me, that's saying, you know what? Michael Irvin had it right. I mean, and then, of course, after that, anonymous criticisms of Hopkins surface, claiming he missed practices, and people calling into question who he, how about his decline in production in 2019. Before defending himself against those criticisms, he told SI, obviously, we know where all that's coming from, which we said at the time, you know, here comes the O'Brien posse with all these comments that, you know, the media that backs O'Brien, you know, basically, oh, he did this, he did that. And, yeah, I mean, this is just an awful look for the organization. It really is. The reality is, I mean, I didn't think it could look worse, but doesn't this make it look worse?
Yeah. I mean, it's had you asked me yesterday, could Bill O'Brien come across any worse than he did, I would have said no. But, yeah, this is maybe how he did it.
Yeah, and, I mean, I think, yeah, Kevin, she played 6 seasons with Bob. He was already here, so 7 years, yeah.
Damn.
I just don't understand how you let somebody have this much power over an organization to where he can make this kind of move and go after a guy who has done nothing but produce for you on the field at a very affordable price, I might add, because it's all your ego. And, oh, this offense will be better without him because it's my offense. And, you know, oh, he didn't practice enough, and baby mamas and all this crap, and I don't like the people you're hanging out with. So, 713 says his production did decrease, but it also looked like he was lined up in the slot a lot last year as opposed to outside. He still had a really good year. It decreased because the year before he had almost a career year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but decrease or not, this is just a dumb thing to do. And, you know, listening to O'Brien try to justify it when he did his press conference last week was just ridiculous. And I still think Hopkins is high-roading it a little bit here by not getting into the details of that meeting. But, you know, good for him. You're right, though. There's no way he addresses it. This is so bleeping frustrating. It really is. And you know what? If he can force his way out, what's to stop Deshaun Watson from doing the same thing?
Right. I mean, there's really nothing. And Deshaun, I mean, when you follow him on social media, would it surprise you if that's what he wanted to do?
No. And, you know, the reality is, if that's all it takes is I want more money.
And I know they're going to try to trade me. Yeah, it's weird.
Then all Deshaun has to do is say, I want $45 million a year.
Yep.
And, oh, we can't do that. So let's trade him for a third-round pick. So
That'd be problematic, certainly. But honestly, I don't know, Fred. At this point, knowing that you're about to reach the window where you are going to have to pay Deshaun, and we've talked about this a lot, how difficult it is to build a roster around a quarterback who's making big-time money. Does it make more sense in some ways, at least if you say let's look at the five-year plan, does it make more sense for the Texans to move on from Deshaun now and basically reset and rebuild the franchise from the ground up? I know that's a tough decision to make and a tough conversation to have because he is a great player and it's hard to find a great quarterback. And he's the best one that they've had in their history. But are they in a situation where you feel like they could build around him once his cap number is that of a top five NFL quarterback? I don't believe it is. If you could get two first-round picks for Deshaun Watson, would that be a reasonable – I mean, is that crazy to think that it might be a smart thing for the Texans to take it?
Well, you know, I was thinking about this today. If you're the Texans, and let's say the Dolphins put you with a ridiculous offer, like all three first-round picks this year and your second back next year, don't you think about it?
I certainly would. I think you have to really consider it because, especially because you don't have a first rounder this year or next year. And again, like I said, it gets nothing but harder. And you know what else this means? You may not have to pay Laremy Tunsil. You may hit reset on him too. It's possible you trade him, and you know I don't know if you can get a first rounder for him. You definitely won't get what you gave up for him. But you can get something for him and just say, you know what, we are rebuilding this team through the draft because as they're constructed right now, I don't know that you're going to be able to build a winner with Deshaun and a bunch of just guys because that's what you're going to end up having is just guys around him because anybody who makes any money is going to fall off year after year just like they did in Seattle. And I don't know to put it bluntly, this front office – is not as clever and not as good as Seattle's front office. This coaching staff is not as clever and not as good as Seattle's. So I just don't know if I trust them to do it. So maybe the best thing to do would be hit reset, get a young, cheap quarterback that's controllable for several years and see if it works. And if it doesn't, then you know what? This is your chance to get rid of Bill O'Brien because he clearly can't develop. He can't make it develop. So I've honestly come around to maybe the best thing the Texans could do is just start over. And I didn't think that until they got rid of DeAndre Hopkins. And now I'm starting to think you can't build a winner out of this thing. You're not going, I mean, you can maybe build a team that'll win some division titles, but you're not going to build a long-term winner out of this. If your goal is winning division titles, cool. My assumption is though, they have bigger goals. And that's not going to happen in the next couple of years. So to me, it may make sense just to hit reset and start over, start fresh.
No, that is their goal, to win division titles. Bill O'Brien tells us that all the time. 4 out of 5, AJ.
That's true.
I have an idea. It may sound ridiculous, but when we come back, I want to bounce it off you and see what you think. That if you did trade Watson, how you could still be competitive this year. We'll talk about that when we come back. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hope you're having a good one. So, I know this is purely speculation, but, and of course, if I were in charge of the Texans, they wouldn't be in this situation. But what if the Dolphins come to you with a ridiculous offer, like three number ones, and you say, you know what?
That wouldn't even be a conversation. It would already happen.
I, I would, well, and of course, Bill will take a lot less than that because he's Bill O'Brien.
Yeah,
but
if
that
there's
happened,
there's no player on any team that's not worth three first round picks. Maybe not Patrick Mahomes. That may be the only person I'd say, you know what, I'll keep my quarterback. Every other player in the league, I would trade for three first round picks.
So let's say it happens, and you say, all right, let's go sign Cam Newton on a 1 year prove it deal. How much drop off is there if the guy's healthy?
If the guy's healthy?
Yeah.
Maybe a 15% drop in production.
You can win a division title with him.
I think so. And if you've got
somebody?
Yeah, you would obviously use one of those three first round picks on a quarterback. And if you get the Dolphins first rounder this year, you've got, you know, presumably you've got your pick between Tua and Justin Herbert, who could, you know, potentially could be a franchise guy. I'd do that in a heartbeat. And especially if you do Tua and you're willing to let him sit for a full year, or at least let him be a backup for a full year, and have, you know, Cam or God, Andy Dalton, or even if you, you know, you trade for Derek Carr, which isn't unrealistic. It's not unreasonable either. We talked about it with the Cowboys. Why wouldn't you do it? If the Raiders would take a fourth round pick for Derek Carr, would you not consider that?
Oh, absolutely.
So now you've got three first round picks and Derek Carr. You can draft a quarterback of the future. You can draft a left tackle of the future. You could draft a cornerback of the future. I mean, you've got a lot of options, really.
I mean, you know, I would have never thought I would have even thought about this.
I wouldn't have either, Fred. But this is O'Brien has proven that he's not capable of running this team. I don't know. I mean, this is, and again, I know, and people are already tweeting me about it. It's not, you know, it's bad take or whatever. I'm just telling you, if you don't trust Bill O'Brien now to build a good team, what are you going to do when when Deshaun Watson's making $40 million and Laremy Tunsil's the highest paid tackle in the league and you don't have any future draft picks? And you've got no way to bring in free agents. What are you going to do then?
Because especially since you can't pay him, and it's not like guys want to play for him.
Because, Fred, think about it like this. If in the next 2 years you pay Deshaun, you pay Laremy Tunsil, you don't have a first-round pick this year or next year, you're going to be up against the cap. Where do you get the money, because you don't have a draft pick, where do you get the money to bring in better players? So you have to ask yourself the question, look at the team today. Are they good enough today? And yeah, okay, add in 2 second-round picks over the next 2 years. Are they good enough with that to really change what they are? Because I would say no. When you think about the fact that you lost DeAndre Hopkins, 2 second-round picks doesn't make up for the production that you lose with him. I don't see this team getting better. And I really think, and it's kind of gross to say it because I love Deshaun, but you're not going to be able to build the winner around him at this point. Once he gets paid, you're not going to be able to.
Well, not with this guy in charge. I think that's the and this is why I said it's just pure speculation, because if they did this, I don't trust them to make the right moves, to draft the right people, to go out and sign a Cam Newton or someone like that, or trade for Derek Carr. You don't trust them to do that, because you're using logic, as somebody on the text line said. And
well,
and nothing
here's the thing.
He does is logical.
Here's the other thing. You know, even you say go out and sign a Cam Newton. If you trade Deshaun and you get multiple first-round draft picks, I think three firsts is probably unrealistic. But let's say you get two firsts and a third. It's not unreasonable to just say, you know what, this is the rebuild we're in. A.J. McCarron's our quarterback this year. Yep, it may be a rough year for us, but this is why we've got one of the highest paid backups in the league. We're going to see what he can do with this offense. We're going to groom our quarterback of the future. Now, in this scenario, you would have to draft a quarterback this year to be your future quarterback. But just say A.J. McCarron is our guy for this season. You know, Tua or Herbert or whoever we're developing this year. And next year, we're going to look to compete for the division. And in 2 years, we're hoping to make a Super Bowl run.
I don't think that they would approach it that way, because Bill O'Brien likes hanging his division titles up. And 832 says, this is the guy the franchise was waiting for 20 years. You cannot justify going back to the likes of Tom Savage.
The problem is, yes, you're right. This is the guy the franchise has been waiting on. And guess who showed up and ruined it? Unfortunately, they both happened at the same time. That it really is unfortunate that they put the wrong guy in charge right at the time that they found the right quarterback. So if you want long-term success, that may be what it takes. Because we can agree at this point, Bill O'Brien's not going anywhere.
No, he's not. And
because if you were willing to move on from Bill O'Brien, Cal McNair wouldn't have let this happen. He wouldn't have let DeAndre Hopkins leave.
I do think, and there's a bigger issue to this, and it's one of the things I kind of wrote about in my sports map column for tomorrow, is especially if you're going to pay this much money, I think you're going to be dealing with a much smaller salary cap in the future. Because if they wind up playing these games without fans, or even if they do, how many empty suites are going to be there now because companies can't afford it, especially if you check the oil prices around here lately. And, you know, I think that's going to be pretty damaging in terms of how much money all these teams make. And so, yeah, you might get new TV deals, but some of these places may not be able to afford to pay as much. So maybe you don't get as much money as you thought you were going to get. And suddenly, if you're paying that much for your quarterback and your left tackle for a salary cap that is going down, now you've got some real issues.
Yep.
And 281 says, you guys are focusing on offense. Last time we saw the Texans play, they were up by 24. No draft picks, I get it, but they need defensive help as much as offensive help right now. And that's why, that's actually what we were talking about.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Do you trust him to build a defense with no cap room and no draft capital? The answer is no.
Right. I think if you did a move like this, and I mean, that would be my price, 3 number ones. It won't be Bill's price, but I'm just going to roll with that since I'm playing GM for the moment. You're definitely drafting a pass rusher with one of those picks. You're definitely, you're probably going quarterback, pass rusher, corner. You will improve your defense that way. Yep. If you draft the right guys, which I don't trust them to do. But, so I said, I think it's crazy that we went from a team that we had that was definitely a contender to AJ using the words rebuild.
I mean, I'm telling you, it's weird. But you can't argue that it kind of makes sense at this point.
All right, let's take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5 is more talk and less commercials, which means more sports talk for you. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in. And we'll take some calls if people have opinions on this. But I don't know. I have no hope for this franchise with Bill O'Brien. And somebody says, and does it feel like a real rebuild year only because O'Brien seems to want a rebuild year? I don't think he does. I think he likes putting those division title banners up. But, you know, this was a team that
I'm not saying it doesn't feel like a rebuild right now. I'm saying maybe we should consider that to be not only a viable option, but maybe the most realistic option if you want the Texans to eventually win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I kind of feel like them winning a Super Bowl is out the window. I don't think that, you know, I think some of the moves they made outside of the Hopkins deal, I don't hate. You know, if you can keep these guys healthy, which is always the big question, and I think you can say that about anybody. But, Fred, you know, they really haven't done anything to fix the defense, which was awful last year. And if you're going to tell me that a first-year defensive coordinator who's never done it before is going to suddenly make things better, I'm a little skeptical of that,
I
too.
I mean, Fred, think about this. From in the last 2 years, I mean, you've lost arguably your two best defensive players. You lost Clowney, and now you've lost DJ Reader. Like, you talk about the defense getting better. I mean, the defense is getting significantly worse.
Well, throw Tyrann Mathieu into that conversation.
Listen, this is what
people forget about that.
You know, I'm with you. There's been some moves where, like the Laremy Tunsil deal, I thought they gave too much for Tunsil, but it's justifiable. The problem is when you do moves like that, and then you do moves like the Clowney trade, and then you say, oh, we're going to re-sign Laremy Tunsil long-term, and then you trade DeAndre Hopkins, even though you had him under contract long-term, for nothing. Like, they don't know what they want. They don't know what they are. And that makes it really hard to win.
I disagree with that. We don't know what they want. We don't know what they are. I think they know exactly what they want. Bill O'Brien knows exactly what he wants. He wants a bunch of guys who are going to do exactly what he tells them, and that aren't going to give him grief, and that are going to fit his, quote, culture. And, you know, and so that's why it doesn't make sense to us that he's making some of these moves, because he's trying to build the team the way he wants it. So I think, you know, he has an idea. We don't see it, and the reason we don't see it is because it doesn't make a whole hell of a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Not to a reasonable person. And that's why even having Palantonio on yesterday, he's ripping on that trade, and everybody's ripping on that trade. I mean, I don't know how you can sit there and look at yourself and say, you know, we did the right thing here, when the entire world is telling you how stupid you were. And, you know, I get that, okay, this is what he wants, but it doesn't make sense to me.
Well, I have a hard time understanding it myself, and I think really, like you said, basically the entire world doesn't understand it. You're basically saying everybody in the world is wrong and Bill O'Brien is right. I just have a hard time believing that. You know, if we're playing the odds, I'm going to trust the rest of the world. And you say, yes, he's got an idea of what he wants. I think what I mostly meant was, are you a team that's building for the future, or are you a team that wants to win now? And he's made several contradictory moves. So while, yeah, I haven't disagreed with all of the moves individually, when you look at them all together, I mean, it's really hard to figure out. You know what I mean? It's like you're buying, you know, you can buy a bunch of good things separately. Like you can go to the store and you can buy powdered donuts. You can buy, a steak, and you can buy, you know, the stuff to make a pizza. And then you say, okay, here's the deal though. I'm making burritos out of this. It's really hard to picture how this all goes together. That's what I'm saying. I don't understand these trades. I can understand some of them individually, but when you look at them as a conglomerate, I don't know what direction they're trying to go with this thing.
Well, I think he, to him, those moves aren't contradictory. To him, they make the team better. And he's wrong. And Bernardo says, at what point do we stop talking about the Clowney trade? The market is telling you he's not worth the big money. At least they got something. Maybe nobody else offered more.
What did they get?
It wound up being like, Gary and Conley.
They got nothing for him. They got nothing. Well, and they wouldn't have to pay him this money. They wouldn't be beholden to him now. They could move on from him now and not have had Gary and Conley. Okay, I'd be fine with that. But if you were playing to win last year, which is what they said they were doing, do you not think Jadeveon Clowney would have helped?
And that's the point. That's why you're going to still talk about it, because it was a contradictory move. You go all in on the Tunsil move, and if you keep him last year, all right, you already had him. You paid money for him to go away. That's the other thing. But if you keep him and you go all in, your defense is going to be better. Guess what? If he walks this year, you know what you get? A third-round pick.
A comp pick, yep.
You get a comp pick.
And what would you rather have, Gary and Conley or a comp pick? And remember, when you got Gary on Conley, you still had to pay most of Jadavion's salary to go play somewhere else.
Well, so
you can say,
you can say all you want.
The market's telling you he's not worth the big money. The Texans were never, they never had to pay him. They never had to say, okay, well, we're committing big money to you. They didn't have to commit that to him last year. They got rid of him out of spite because just the same reason, like, it's just like he's asking for more money. Let's find a way to get him out of here. I mean, it's the same thing as what's happened now with Hopkins. It's, I don't know how you can justify that trade. Yeah, I don't think you can.
Well, and there's nothing that says you couldn't have traded for Gary and Conley anyway.
Yeah.
And had him too. So.
And at least then, when you're paying for Jadavion Clowney, you would have gotten him. You would have had his services.
Yeah. He says Texans would have won exactly 0.0 more games with Clowney on the roster. You don't know that.
You don't know that.
You don't know that.
He was by far the best player involved in that trade. It's not even like the difference between him and the second best guy is literally miles. He was far and away the best player. You paid him to go away. You can't say with certainty that they wouldn't have been better. There's no way you can.
There were games that the Texans lost that were close, that a sack fumble touchdown like he did for Seattle might have won you the game. So there's no way in hell that you can make.
Forced four fumbles last year. I mean, you're telling me that four extra turnovers, one of those might not have won him a game? I disagree completely.
Yeah, I don't think there's any way you can make that statement. And maybe he doesn't. Maybe he doesn't help him win another game. But you can't, I mean, under no circumstances can you just make a blanket statement like that.
Well, and that's, I mean, you can look at it the other way, too. Like, you can say, okay, look at the freaking Tunsil trade. Can you say with certainty that the Texans won more games this year because they had Laremy Tunsil? It's not like the sack numbers were way down. I mean, he was still getting beat up. I think the team was better because of him, but can you definitively say they won games because Laremy Tunsil was there? You can't. You can't say somebody won games because of him, just like you can't say they wouldn't have won any more if Clowney had been here. It's a ridiculous thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think you could speculate that they did because they didn't have Julian Davenport out there.
Yeah.
But there's no way to
know.
So somebody said, would you rather have traded J.J. Watt and been happier? I'm not happy with any of these guys being traded.
I wouldn't be opposed to them trading J.J. Watt.
Well, at this point.
If you're doing this, like if my theory here were to play out, yeah, you would trade J.J. Watt. I mean, if you could get anything for him. If not, you keep him here as sort of a figurehead, and then when his contract, I guess, you could potentially just cut him, honestly. If you go into rebuild mode, you can't let emotions, you can't let history, you can't let that stuff play into your decision-making. You would have to have a clean reset.
Yeah, but here's the flaw with the clean reset. If you've already traded away one of your most popular players, let's say you trade away Watson, let's say you trade or cut Watt, and you've never had to worry about this before, but it goes back to what I was saying. How many people will you have chased away that will be on the fence because maybe they can afford Texans tickets and maybe they can't. Maybe they have to make some sacrifices to keep their season tickets. And you do that and you've got no one that people will pay to see. You're going to see a big loss in terms of ticket sales. And I know that may happen anyway.
It may be. But you know what? When Ryan Mallett was the quarterback, there was still a waiting list for season tickets.
I know, but this is a different world, man.
No, you're right.
I guarantee you especially suite sales, I guarantee that they're going to be a big problem with suite sales because you think a lot of these companies that own those things, I mean, that's a significant chunk of change each year. And, you know, they're having to justify laying people off. I think you're going to see some big problems, not just here, a lot of places next year. And this is a perfect world. If people are able to go to games starting in September, you're going to see a lot of tickets turn back. And especially if you do something like that and you get rid of every player that people have bought jerseys for and worship, then you're going to have a hard time justifying that to your fan base. And at some point, those people will stand up and say, bleep you. And I think that would do it. You get rid of those two guys.
Well, I mean, if you get rid of those two guys, presumably you're bringing in a Tua or someone like that that there's you could have some hope in. I don't know. I think at this point it'd be hard to run off Texans fans. They seem to be willing to take whatever the Texans shove down their throats.
I think, though, at some point, there's always a breaking point for almost anybody. And A32 says Texans still have a long line of people wanting PSLs. Let's see where they are in the fall with that. Because, you know, I think there's also a long line of people that had plenty of disposable income that might not even have jobs right now.
Right.
And you're going to go out and spend your money on that? I don't think so. And, you know, I think that, and again, it's kind of what I got into in tomorrow's column. It's just let's enjoy the draft because this is the last real thing we're going to have for a while. And I really don't think people are considering the impact that you're going to have, not just on the NFL, but on all these leagues. You've always talked about contraction in some of these sports. I think there's a good chance that winds up happening because even if the TV deals are not going to be the same, and it's going to affect everybody. And if you lose all that ticket money or significant ticket money and concession money, and merchandise money, then there are some teams that are already operating on that don't have a ton of money. It sounds surprising, but they're NFL teams. The Raiders, until they got their new stadium, there was a reason they didn't want to pay people because they couldn't afford to.
Yeah.
So now if you get into a situation where we're almost out a year or or there's no fans for the season, then, yeah, realistically, that's going to impact every single sports league. And so, you know, I think you will see, and I think the NHL, for all the talk of expansion, and they got an expansion team coming in, I bet you lose two or three teams there.
Yeah,
it's going to give them an excuse.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, like Ottawa, Florida. I think those are teams that ownership will just say, hey, we can't afford this. Sorry, we're out.
And you know what? There's going to be a lot of people will be mad about it, but it's also – it's like one of the one times in history where you're going to be able to do something like that, and people will go, you know what? I kind of understand. You know, it's almost like a get out of jail free card for companies, or for even like, you know, businesses like the NFL or NHL to contract, because it's not going to be popular, certainly. But this is an unforeseen event that. You look around the world, everybody's had to change. People are losing their jobs. It's unavoidable for most people. So I think that if you were gonna do it, now's the one time you could do it and not have the most backlash, you know?
Well, yeah, I think everybody would just say that makes a lot of sense. And Major League Baseball, with this whole thing with Tampa, oh, do we split the season with Montreal? Well, maybe Tampa just goes away. Maybe Oakland just goes away.
Yeah.
And that, to me, is a realistic possibility, especially if this thing drags on and takes a huge bite out of the season. Saints Patrick says, I've already gotten calls from the Saints about upgrading our seats for a suite, which were always sold out. So, yeah, I think, you know, definitely. But, so I said, look, I'm fed up too. Where do Texans fans go? Certainly not the Cowboys. I want a local team. Just have to hope it works out.
How about the rough?
Yeah.
No.
No, sorry about the ref.
Not the Roughnecks.
No. Hey, they're your team. Root for them, but you know, at some point, you don't have to support them.
Yeah,
and by that I mean
also at some point, if you do support them, you look foolish.
Yeah, and I would just say when UH hired Kendall Browles, I refused to support the team, so I didn't buy any gear. I didn't go to games. And while that's just a small amount of money they lost, that was my way of saying I'm not happy about this. As soon as they got rid of the guy, back to buying gear, back to going to games. And, you know, that's how you can make a statement if enough people do it. But I don't know that they will. I got another way to make a statement. Go see my man Dr. Linville. Get your hair back. And, guys, my hair is really growing out. And it's pretty cool to have hair again. And this process is fantastic. It's a NeoGraft procedure. I was at that point where I either had to shave it all off or get something done. And I looked into a bunch of stuff, and none of it felt right. It all felt phony, you know, hair plugs and wigs and stuff like that. And it's like, man, I don't want to do that. But the NeoGraft procedure is your own hair. He removes the follicles from the back of your head and just puts them where you're thinning. And it's that simple. And right now, while you know they're not open, you can do virtual consulting with him. You can go to 975hair.com, set up your virtual consultation. In a few weeks, when they're back to doing procedures, guess what? You'll be set up. And he just wants to help people like you, like me, even himself. He's had it done, and his hair looks fantastic. So all you have to do is go to 975hair.com to get your hair back. And I got to tell you, he's a great guy. Just spend a few minutes talking with him on your consultation, and you'll be sold like I was. And I'm seeing the results now. It is amazing. And at some point when I get back in studio, you'll be able to see it yourself on the Twitch channel. 975hair.com to set up that virtual consultation. 975hair.com.
G'day, mate. This is Sam Windsor of the Houston Sabercats. You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. And so far this hour, good old-fashioned Bill O'Brien bashing, which nothing wrong with that. Let's take a call. Kenneth, you're on The Blitz. Go.
Hey, guys. I do appreciate you taking my call. I was wanting to give my take in regards to the that big trade that went down regarding Gronk.
Okay, go for it, man.
I was going to say I'm very interested to see how he does in Tampa, especially with him being out of the game for, like, I believe it was like a year. And I'm interested to see how he does.
All right. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think there's a lot of people who are. And again, like I said in the first segment, I think that I don't know what Gronk has left. Maybe Gronk is – I assume Gronk still has some game left. I don't know if Tom Brady does, and that's what we're going to find out. Like, I don't think Tom Brady threw one decent deep ball last season. Now you can argue he didn't have Mike Evans. He didn't have Gronk. He didn't have a lot of things. He's going to have a lot of weapons this time. So is it conceivable that he could be better? Sure. But his age, we're talking 43 years old. I think the safe bet is he's going to continue to decline.
Well, and the one thing I'll say about Gronk is even at 60% of best Gronk, he's a pretty damn good player, because we've seen that when he's been hurt. He still goes out and has an impact at 60%. So I still think he can play, but you're right. I don't know if Brady can. I don't know that Bruce Arians won't get him killed. But, you know, again, if he has some kind of flashback, then ought to be pretty good. I mean,
yeah.
But that's the thing that I would be skeptical about. And AJ mentioned this earlier, but it's not like the Bucs sucked at tight end last year.
No, they had two really good ones.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN. So I have some good news to report.
Okay.
We're going to be bottling our beer Thursday at True
Excellent.
Anomaly. So I will find a way to get you one, Mr. Hoffman.
All right.
I'm not sure how. But we'll figure it out. That's that's one of the negatives of not going to the office is could always just bring each other beer, all of us around there, when we had something like that. But
I actually did have to go to the office today.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, we had a big meeting with management types, you know, wearing suits and ties. Actually, that's not true. I was wearing jeans and a T-shirt and a ball cap. Even David Gow was wearing a hat because no one's had haircuts. And Todd has a beard.
Yeah. Yeah, I figure, I at some point I got to get back down there just to grab some stuff. But I'm okay staying home right now. I'm seeing too many people out on the road, and maybe it's just because of where I live.
Yeah,
but I'm just seeing too many cars, and the wife's been having to go down to the office, and she's saying the same thing. It's like, you know, the first couple of weeks she had to do it. She could park on the street right there by her office because She's never needed an actual parking spot in the garage. Well, now she can't find a place to park. So it's like, okay, you know, people, maybe don't rush it so much. So, all right, 713-780-ESPN. Let's do one more caller, Michael. What's up, Michael?
Hey, just talking about Brady and Bruce Arians' new offense. You know, I was wondering if y'all thought considered them adding Fournette. You know, maybe get a little protection from Brady.
It's not crazy, honestly. I would see the Bucs going out and getting Fournette before the Patriots, though. I mean, if that's what you meant, the Bucs going to get him, yeah.
I think he meant the Bucs. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I could absolutely see that. And that's a guy who's on a relatively – I mean, he's still on his first contract, right?
Yeah, and I know they're trying to get rid of him, but there's not a ton of interest in him.
He's shown some flashes. I don't think it's crazy. I mean,
I like the guy coming out of college, but they're leaking all these stories that he's a problem, he doesn't practice, blah, blah, blah. Which, if you're trying to trade a guy, why are you leaking that stuff?
Right. Well, I think when the Jags guys try to get themselves traded, like Ngakoue's certainly like, hey, look at me. I can't wait to get out of here. Someone come save me. I mean, he's waving his arms. Someone please get me out of here. I don't know what the Jags – I mean, the Jags are – they're under the radar because – of what the Texans are doing this offseason, but the Jags are a really horribly run franchise. I mean, it really is a disaster. When you think about what they paid Nick Foles, and then a year later they're like, we got to get him out of here. I mean, everybody wants out. They're a mess.
Well, and Tom Coughlin comes in and pisses everybody off, and then you get rid of him, and they're all still pissed off because you've gotten rid of all the players. And yeah, that's a mess in Jacksonville, and that's a team that was in the AFC Championship, 3 years ago?
Yeah.
And now I don't even know how you call this a rebuild. They're just tearing it all down. And, that's the problem, is the Texans are still good enough because they got that, and I think the Titans are going to take a step back this year. I really do. I think Vrabel taking over that defense is a bad thing, and I don't expect Derrick Henry to I don't expect Derrick Henry to have the same kind of year that he did, and I certainly don't expect Ryan Tannehill. But so you have to beat the Colts, basically. And yep, who knows what they'll be with Phillip Rivers. So they could end up winning the division title again and then getting whacked by some other team. So 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776 is your number if you want to get in. And, to the 346 texter, I'm not going to give you any run on air, but just shut up. Please don't text the show anymore. You know, you're the typical Tuesday texter, dickweed. And Jong also did not go to UH games at the time, buy gear, stuff like that. So, I mean, that's the only way you can send a message. Doesn't mean you're not still a fan of the team. I mean, I watched all the games. But I didn't have the same attachment to it. And I really haven't since. I mean, I like what they've done, and I support them, but I don't feel like I have that attachment anymore. And that's just natural. 713-780-ESPN is the number. So is there music playing?
Yes, sir.
All right. We'll take a quick break. Do not go anywhere. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.